I don't know if you know this, but if you pop next door and go through the entrance of Old Broadcasting House, not the new one, the bright shiny one, but the Old Broadcasting House, something specific will greet you. Now, these days, that something specific will probably be a security guard. But if you get past the security guards, you'll be greeted by this. It is a sculpture of the sower by Eric Gill. And next to it is an inscription in Latin, dedicating the building by the original governors of the BBC. And it says, the translation, "They pray that good seed sown may bring forth good harvest, and that all things foul or hostile to peace may be banished thence, and that the people inclining their ear to whatsoever things are lovely and honest, whatsoever things are of good report, may tread the path of virtue and wisdom." There you go, that's what you're paying your license fee for. Well, tonight we come to the end of our sermon series looking at Luke's gospel. We come to this parable of the sower, which that sculpture is representing. And for some here, this perhaps will be the first time you have heard this passage, this parable, this story read. And if that is you, I hope it speaks to your heart and your mind today. But my guess is for many here, it will seem like another television staple, the endless repeat. This will be a familiar story. This will be one you've heard many times before. You've read many times before. Perhaps you've heard many sermons. Instantly, as you heard it was going to be the parable of the sower, you have your top three sermons on the parable of the sower in your mind to compare this to, which is exciting as a preacher to come towards. Well, my heart is that as we approach this parable together, we hear something afresh from the words of Jesus. So why don't I pray that will be the case as we look into God's word together. Our gracious God, we thank you for this parable of Jesus. We thank you for these words of Jesus. And we pray that as we listen to these words this evening, you would give us soft hearts, open ears to hear your word and to receive it and to hold on to it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight, this sermon is all about you. That's great, isn't it? It's good to hear when you come to a sermon. Perhaps you're worried that it was going to be a sermon for somebody else, but that is not the case. This sermon is all about you. And even more powerfully, these words of Jesus are all about you as well. Though he spoke these truths 2,000 or so years ago, probably on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he had you in mind when he spoke them. That's a nice ego boost for the end or the beginning of the week, depending on how you look at it. But it is true. Because as Jesus speaks this parable that may well be very familiar to many here, he is talking about the ways in which people respond to his message. And one of them fits you this evening. One of them describes you. The question is, which one will it be? Because Jesus, in this parable, gives us four ways in which we can hear. Every single one of us fits into one of those categories. I am one. You are one as well. And it is a word that is timeless and true for every person gathered here. So let's listen in and let's hear the parable again. Jesus starts this parable as a large crowd gather around, and in verse 5 he says this, "A farmer went out to sow his seeds." Before the era of mechanized farming, this is the way it would work. And it's the way it works in many places in the world today. A farmer would walk up and down his field with a bag of seed in his hand. He would grab a handful of seed and he would scatter it out across the ground. If Rico was preaching this evening, he'd have a bag of seed and he would be scattering it amongst the orchestra. But I'm a little bit too kind to do that. But that's how it would work. He'd continue up and down the field, scattering seed until the whole field was covered in the seed that he'd want to grow into his crop. And so Jesus continues. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and with it and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. That was an incredible harvest for whoever sowed that seed. That is the parable. Just one short paragraph, really. It's a straightforward story using ideas and images that would have been very familiar to his audience. But despite that, at least some of his audience don't understand. They are Jesus' disciples. And they have the opportunity as they walk with Jesus, as they spend time with him, to bring him aside and to say to him, come on, Jesus. Yeah, that parable with the sower and the seeds. Explain it to us. Now, of course, we understand it, but just to make sure that we've got it right, Jesus, just let us in on what's going on. And so Jesus does. He explains it for them in verse 11. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. So verse 1 reminded us that Jesus is in the process of traveling from town to town. He is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. He is saying, a king has come near to you. A king has come. A kingdom is coming. The good news of who Jesus is and why he has come. And this parable explains the responses that people have to this message of God's word. And it explains us too. You see, the parable may use first century images that may be a little bit unfamiliar to 21st century life, but it explains 21st century Londoners, or wherever you're from, just as much as it does first century hearers. It tells us how we might respond to this message of who Jesus is and why he has come. It explains what is going on this evening. Because we've heard God's word as Julie read it for us, as we look into it together. We are reading God's word together this evening. It explains what's going on here. It explains what goes on, perhaps for you, each morning as you pour a cup of coffee and you open the Bible and vaguely try and focus on the words as your mind begins to wake up for the day. Perhaps you are in the habit of reading God's word daily, and it explains what is going on then as well. It explains what's going on as you gather in a life group to study God's word together. It explains what is going on as you hear God's word spoken to you in a Christian book. It explains what is going on as you have a Christian conversation with friends. It explains what is going on as you have a conversation at a coffee shop as someone asks you, how is your spiritual life? It explains what happens as we have this privilege of God's word in a language that we understand and are able to talk about it freely. It explains what happens when we hear God's word. And what happens? Well, there are 4 possibilities. And Jesus uses 4 images to help us. He says we can, on the one hand, be like the path. Jesus tells us those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Yeah, just as the seed falls onto the path, onto the stone there, and it's trampled underfoot and the birds come and pluck it away, so here is a picture of what is going on with some people here this evening. You see, for you, if this is you, when the word of God is opened, whether it's in church or with a friend or on your own, it is powerful because God is at work. But you see, the problem is the devil is at work too. The devil wants nothing more than to snatch away God's word before it has any chance to work. Maybe you've seen these kind of signs around London. Be aware, thieves operate in this area. I used to live down in Plymouth for a while, and if you pop across into Cornwall, you get these kind of beware thieves, beware the gulls. Ice cream and chip thieves operate in this area. But you know, we could put a sign like that here. Be aware, a thief is operating in this area. I don't mean people who steal your handbag, though we have had that, so just make sure you've got your belongings with you. But actually, there's another thief at operation. The devil is operating as we hear the word of God, and he wants nothing more than to snatch it away before it has any effect in our lives. You see, our hearts can be so hard and unyielding, like that path in the parable. So what is it that makes your heart like tarmac? Well, perhaps for many here, it's just the attitude that says, well, it's lovely to come and to hear the orchestra and to sing these amazing songs, and it's great, but you know what? I'm a good person. I don't need all that gospel stuff. That's for other people. I'm just here for a lovely musical occasion. I'll sit through the sermon if I need to. You see, our heart is hard and unyielding. It's like that seed hits it, but then is instantly taken away. Or maybe it's your Bible reading in the morning. You open the Bible because you think, well, that's probably a good thing to do. But your brain is so foggy, it's almost as if the seed is just bouncing off. So I wonder, is that you this evening? Have you come here this evening because, well, there could be lots of reasons, but you just know, I'm not interested in all this God stuff. And you know, for a fact, your heart is like tarmac. Well, if that is you, first of all, well done for making it this far into the sermon. But listen on. That's the first option. The second option is that we can be like the rocky ground. That's the ground on which the seed falls on that has very little soil. Verse 13 tells us those on the rocky ground are like the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but have no roots. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. I recently had the immense privilege of going on a trip to Iceland. And Iceland is an amazing place, and it's fascinating on lots of levels. One reason it's fascinating is there are hardly any trees. And those trees that are there do not grow very tall. In fact, there's a famous Norwegian taunt as Norwegians come to visit Iceland. And they say, what happens if you get lost in a forest in Iceland? You stand up. The Icelandic trees are very, very small because the ground is volcanic rock. There is actually very little soil. It looks very green. It's one of those strange things. Greenland is very icy and Iceland is very green. But actually the soil in many places doesn't go very far at all. It's rock with just a thin layer of topsoil. So maybe a tree will grow, but it has no roots. It doesn't go very far. It can't grow up and it can't survive very long. Well, that's Jesus' point here. Without a root, the plant can't grow. It's possible to be a kind of person who comes and isn't a heart like tarmac, but who loves to hear God's word. You're full of joy. Here is the most amazing thing. You're so excited about it. But actually, it never takes root in your life. And the reason we find that out is when times of testing come along. You see, you find out how your roots are doing, not when life is full of joy, but when times are tough. When times are full of struggles. Those are the times that reveal whether we're really holding on to Jesus, whether we've really understood who he is, that he is a king and he has a kingdom. If we're just here to have a wonderful, exciting time, then when the wonder and excitement disappears, what are we left with? Maybe that's you this evening. Maybe you've had times of excitement and joy, and perhaps you're here because you want to get those excitement and joy, and you've loved singing the songs, and you've loved being here with everyone, but will the joy disappear tomorrow morning? Maybe you feel like that rocky ground. Well, there's a third type, which is the thorny ground. And this type of person is, as Jesus said, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Well, here's a soil I think we could all relate to, can't we? It's a soil that's full of other plants just waiting to take over and remove the light and the life from the seed of the word. I'm not much of a gardener. I'm very good at growing weeds, though. I've developed a great skill in that. But if you are a gardener, you know that when you're planting things, when you're planting a plant that you want to grow well, whether it's a flower or some kind of vegetable or whatever you're growing, you want to get rid of the weeds because the weeds suck the life out of the plants. They put their roots down so they get the moisture instead of the plant you want to grow. Or they grow up taller very quickly and they cover the plants so that they can't get light. Isn't that how life is often for us? Yeah, the worries of life press in and overwhelm us. They're like those weeds that grow up and sort of cover us. Yeah, disappointments come our way and disillusionment begins to creep in. And we thought we were going to do great things for God. Yeah, when we started out, perhaps when we were a student, we thought, this is it, we're going to do amazing things for God. And now we need to think about job security and health issues and student loans and credit card bills. And those worries pile in on us and up on us. And they pull us away from God. We still come to church. But actually our hearts are won by the worries. That's what's taken over our mind. We have to concentrate so hard on God's word, because if we leave it for one moment, off our minds go to what's happening tomorrow morning. It's that bill we have to pay. It's that thing we have to sort out. Or actually, maybe it's not the worries, it's the riches and pleasures that crowd in on us. That actually, maybe for you, life is good, and life is going well, and we have money and success and respect. So what need do we have of God? Or his word? Well, he is just crowded out by the world around us. And whether it's worries or successes, maybe that is you this evening. You find that thorns and thistles have grown up. And it's so difficult to hear God's word for all the noise of other things. Three ways to hear. Be like the path. Be like the rocky ground. Be like the thorny ground. That's easy to visualize. It's easy to see how each of them come. But there is one more. We could be like the good soil. And Jesus tells us the seed on good soil stands for those who with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. You see, the point of the parable is pretty simple, isn't it? We want to be like the good soil. And that's what Jesus is getting at. He is a king who is bringing in a kingdom. He is the one who we ought to know and who we ought to trust, who we ought to rightly relate to. And the trouble is that there are so many other things that get in the way. We can have hard hearts and the devil snatches it away. We can come with joy but have no root and testing snatches it away. Or we can just be crowded with worries or pleasures and it snatches it away. And we want to be like the good soil. Jesus wants us to be like the good soil. But that is often the one we are simply not like. At least if you're anything like me. I know that's very unusual to hear from a preacher. But let me tell you, I am very rarely like the good soil. I hear a sermon, and my mind is occupied with cares and worries. Usually a sermon preached by somebody else, but even a sermon I'm preaching. You see, the fact is that those who preach from a pulpit have the same struggles you do. We have the same tendency to a hard heart, to a rocky soil, to a thorny ground. We're not immune from the thorns of life. I too don't stop to allow the word to take root in my life, and I'm often as resistant as tarmac to the word in the first place. You see, the fact is, we could all be like these four soils at one time or another. But here's the thing, I don't think Jesus tells this parable just simply to help us understand which one we are. He doesn't say, well, look, there's however many people here this evening, one quarter of you are going to be paths. Oh well. One quarter of you, you're going to be rocky ground. Good luck with that. One quarter of you, you're going to be thorns. All the best. And one quarter of you, you're the good soil. Right, let's concentrate on that. Now, I think the challenge of this parable is to be the good soil that produces a harvest. And the question is, how do we do that? If Jesus tells us that there are four ways we can hear, and there is one way only that is going to produce a result, how do we pursue that good soil? And the answer is in what he says next. And to sum it up, he says, consider carefully how you listen. Let me read to you verses 16 to 18 again. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what they think they have will be taken from them. You see, this is the sting in the tail in Jesus' parable. He says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. That is to be our approach in hearing the word of God. We are to recognize the dangers of those three unproductive soils, and we are to desire to be good soil, and we are therefore to consider carefully how we listen. Consider carefully how we approach God's word. Consider carefully how we prepare to come on a Sunday. How we prepare to be part of our life group. How we prepare as we have a conversation with another Christian. How we prepare as we open the Bible for ourselves daily. Consider carefully how you listen. Well, how do we do that? Well, consider the story that Jesus tells in verse 16. He says this, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. The oil lamp, which would have looked perhaps something like that, would have been the primary way of lighting in the first century. It wouldn't have been huge, probably. It might have been actually quite small. So you can imagine that without electric lights everywhere, it gets pretty dark once the sun goes down. And as you come into the home, you want to light one of these oil lamps in order to give light to your room. And off you do, and it illuminates the room and it allows you to see. And then you pop off to the kitchen, you get a nice pot, and you put the light under it. Well, then a friend comes round to visit you, and they knock on the door, you let them in, and they come into the room and say, good grief, it's dark in here. Where on earth is the light? Why don't you light a lamp so you can see what is going on? And you say to them, well, of course I've lit a little lamp. What do you think I am? Stupid? Of course I've lit a lamp. It's here underneath this pot. Look. What is your friend going to say? You stupid person. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a pot. It has no effect. It doesn't do anything. There's no point putting a lamp underneath a pot or under a bed. It doesn't make any difference. That's not why you light it. Here then is the challenge of God's word. Here's the challenge of Jesus as we hear God's word. Will we allow it to change us and make a difference? See, I think what Jesus is doing is saying to us, too often we can hear God's word like receiving a lit lamp. And we can say, what a lovely light. Let me put it away for future use. And it makes no difference whatsoever to us. We look at the light for a moment and think, what a beautiful light, just as we might do as we hear a sermon or we read the Bible for ourselves as we talk about it with others. But we put it under the bed. I'll put it down there just in case anyone notices it. God forbid that somebody at work might notice that I've changed and then ask me why I've changed, and I'll have to admit to going to church. Much better to put it under the bed. Much better to take God's word and read it and think it's wonderful, but let's not go any further than that. Put it away. Lock it up, perhaps in our minds, but never in our hearts, never in our wills, never in the whole of our lives. And the challenge that Jesus wants to give us is, will we allow God's word, as we listen to it, to light up our life and have an effect? Or will we be like the path and allow the devil to snatch it away? Or will we be like the rocky soil, not allowing it to get its roots into us? Or will we be like the thorny ground, allowing other things to creep up and crowd it out? Or will it light up our life? You see, I think this is why Luke ends this section with the episode with Jesus' mother and brothers. Because, as Jesus says, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. You see, we are to hear God's word and allow God's word to change us. Allow God's word to make a difference. And I think it's also the reason why Luke starts this section by talking about women. these women who followed Jesus. In one sense, you could say, well, Luke's included that because he's a historian. And it's a historic detail. There were these women who followed Jesus, some of them with prominent status. But I don't think it's only that. We don't know much about these women, like Joanna and Susanna. But I think Luke begins because they are an example for us. We don't know much about them, but we do know this. They heard God's word, and it changed them. They encountered Jesus, and it made a difference. They followed him. They walked alongside him, and they supported his ministry from their own finances. It was costly and sacrificial, but they heard God's word. They were changed by God's word. And we see that in action. It made a difference. And they weren't willing just to put the word of God under the bed and just keep it there. It made a difference in their life, and you could see it in their actions. I wonder, would people say the same of us? Would we want people to say the same of us? Oh, yeah, that Dan. He reads the Bible, you know. And he doesn't just read it. He doesn't just think about it. It changes him. It makes a difference in his life. That's weird. We would be satisfied for people to say, well, you know what? I don't know much about them. But one thing I do know, they heard God's word. They were changed by it. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. You speak to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you speak to us through your word, the Bible. And so we pray that as you speak, help us to listen. May we come to your word with expectant hearts, knowing that you are at work. Help us to be aware of the dangers from the devil, from times of testing, from the world around us. And may we consider carefully how we listen, that we might want to hear your voice and be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.